Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tolamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
I don't think there's anybody I would rather be talking to on the day before Christmas, or people should be listening to on the day before Christmas, than producer Evan. Fact. Who would have thought that I would be saying that 2 years ago? Maybe last year I would be saying that. I was trying to remember last year, Evan.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to go on a cruise.
Yeah. Yeah, the last week of the year was kind of like, let's see what happens kind of situation going on.
Well, there was certainly a let's see what happens. I mean, I think that I was looking back at it. You obviously, and I implore everyone to go check out this. You do exhaustive research and you do an excellent job of piecing together the top 10 episodes of the year, which you have done once again. So we're cruising through those every single day. We're in the midst of that. You did it last year. And last year also trickled in with those. I think last year was, I looked it up, Aaron Bates, Dodgers assistant hitting coach, but I didn't do that, right? Somebody else did it, right?
No, that was Joyce, the guy from MLB Network Radio.
Oh, yeah, of course. We appreciate that. And then we had, did Julian?
Julian did, I think he did Edwin Jackson. Right? And then it was a Who Says No was one of the days.
There was a Who Says No, and then there was then Courtney Finnecombe and Courtney and Johnny did one, which spawned. It wasn't technically a pitch and moan, but it was the gave birth to pitch and moan. We saw the chemistry was off the charts leading into New Year's Day, and I was just sitting on the cruise ship. I'm like, oh, this is so awesome having other people do work. It's great. So, but we are. You know, we are having, I don't think it's an overstatement or spoiler. We are having our best month in our history of the podcast. which we want to thank everybody for listening and clicking and subscribing and being part of it. There's a lot of different reasons we can break it down, maybe in a very special extended version of Baseball's and Boring, you know, why we do what we do and what we do works so well because of this or ask X or whatever. I could talk podcasting all day and a lot of times I do, just not on here. But you know, there's a lot of hard work that's put behind it. Obviously the top of the list is Evan. It is gratifying to see growing and to see the progress and to see us having such a great month heading into the new year. And a lot of great stuff coming up as well. But we did want to pause on, you know, having the cavalcade of stars and just talk amongst ourselves because every once in a while, I think it's important just to take a breath and talk amongst yourselves. And just, hey, you know what? We talk on the phone, we text and everything else, but why are we wasting all the good entertainment when we can just talk on the podcast? And I was thinking, wow, if I called Evan, what would I say? I would say, Evan, who do you think is having the best off season right now? That's what I would ask.
There you go.
Right? And I would say, hey, Evan, give me your top five off seasons. As we tape this, I think it's a worthwhile exercise. Before we do the power rankings of off seasons, as we sit here, does it feel different than last off season for you?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, because last off season, it felt like a hurry up and wait with everybody. Right? It was like everybody was like dying to hear where Ohtani went. Then he goes to the Dodgers, then everybody's in on Yamamoto, they're waiting for him. So it really felt like two guys took up most of the time, and granted, you know, Soto took up a large part of the beginning of it, but I think since then, and even in the past, just the past couple of days, people have been flying off the board.
But so I think the difference is that you actually had Ohtani and Yamamoto at this time last year off the board, I think, right?
Yeah, I
know Yamamoto was,
December like 20th, I think.
So. You had the Chris Sale trade. I remember specifically because I was ziplining over Honduras jungle when it happened. That was the last week of December. But I feel like this year maybe there's more of maybe top 50 guys. That not necessarily. There's obviously a lot of top 50 guys still left, but more of the top 15, top 20 ish. You know, like the Shaman Nyes of the world. We've had this sort of a lot of run on pitches. Really, if you look at it right now, Evan, as we tape this, and I hope it doesn't change before people listen. Corbin Burns, Jack Flaherty. Who am I missing?
Those are really the main two. And then there's a lot of like depth guys that people might not be as enthused if their team lands. Like you got, the Red Sox. You got Nick Pavetta.
I'll pick Nick Pavetta.
A little bit in that range.
Yeah.
That's kind of the main guys. I mean, Quintana from the Mets, but he's getting up there in age. So I don't know if teams are running after him, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, and obviously you have your guy, Pete Alonso, still sitting out there. You have Teoscar Hernandez still sitting out there. One that we haven't mentioned, but we knew sort of the timing of this was going to be Sasaki, which is almost all in a completely different bucket. I actually put up a poll, which I thought was a pretty good one. And science would suggest it was because it had a lot of votes and it was fairly close. Which, if you were a team, if you were a fan of a team, which would you be more excited about the acquisition of? Roky Sasaki or Corbin Burns? For you, for if you're a fan of the Mets.
Yeah.
For who would it be for you?
I mean, just for the certainty of it, I'd probably go Burns just because you've seen him so much. But I know that so many fans are obsessed with like the unknown of Sasaki and how cheap he is that it's like, man, I don't really care. I know Corbin Burns has made a million All-Star games and has like a sub 3 ERA every year.
But everybody loves the unknown. I mean, honestly, that's why, you know, this is why the offseason's so popular in every sport. Everyone loves the like what might be. And in that poll, Sasaki won. I think it was, what was it? I want to say it was like 65, 45, something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a blowout. It wasn't a blow. But so, yeah, I think people dislike the idea of it. But you're right. I mean, it's And also, like, anytime you get someone on the other side of 30, even though if they're just crept over 30, like Burns, it's like, okay, you know, we'll have him for a couple, it'll be good for a couple of years and it won't work out. Whereas Sasaki, it's, oh my goodness, you're going to have this guy forever and it's going to be glorious. And yeah.
And so, maybe people also like it because in their mind, you know, because it's like with all the money, it's like, oh, he's only coming here for the money. With Sasaki, they can convince themselves that, like, this guy came here because he really wants
it. Oh, that's, yeah, that's, yeah. I can't wait for the people in Kansas City to be like, oh, yes, he came here because of my, our pitching development program. Look at us. It is, I do find that fascinating. And we've done podcasts on it. We actually, you know, obviously his agent, Joe Wolf, sort of laid the foundation for what's going to happen or what could happen. But really, Evan, I don't think, because maybe people don't pay that close of attention to actually how this dynamic is, but how you have this dynamic personality. And it's not even more so than Ohtani. When Ohtani came over, and it was the same deal, right? It wasn't going to be about the money. It was going to be about his choice. But most people thought that it was going to be still a big market team, semi-big market team, probably on the West Coast. Ultimately, I believe the only non-West Coast team that he met with at that time was Chicago, the Cubs. Yeah. But, you know, the idea that he would possibly go to Tampa Bay or, I don't know, or Kansas City or whatever, or Pittsburgh, it wasn't even a consideration. And I'm not saying that Sasaki's going to go to those places, but at least there's that chance, right? So
yeah, because at first it was kind of funny because it was like leading into it before he got posted and before Joe Wolf spoke, it was just like, it's mainly going to be the Dodgers, might be the Padres. And then ever since he spoke and ever since these meetings started leaking out, it's like, oh, maybe we have a shot, but
yeah, right. And the only people, like the sad trombone for everybody with Philadelphia, we didn't get a meeting. But yeah. Dave Dombrowski does a lot of good stuff, but man, he cannot crack that nut that is Japanese pitcher. They just like there's no history. They just like, nah, we're good. We're good. Yeah.
I know. I think you had Jack Fritz on last year talking about trying to get Ohtani to come here, and he was trying to make a case. But you're like, man, he's got nobody.
Nobody. There's never. I mean, like, remember? It's so weird too. Like even so, when the Red Sox wanted to get the meeting with Ohtani and Dombrowski was in charge, and they had made up all these shirts, Ohtani, Celtics, Bruins, Patriots shirts. They were ready, and like, no, we're not getting. And this is an organization that had a history. But like maybe it's just Dombrowski. I don't know. All right, before we get to your power rankings of top offseason so far, I don't know why this popped into my mind, but I don't think it. What was the thing from the tattoo day that you've seen the video, you've heard them talk, that you were like, oh, that was interesting.
I think it's really because I know before you went in, you were like, oh, Joe has this idea. We'll kind of see how it goes. You know, at first I thought it was just going to be the logo. But then when he was explaining in the video that we posted from the pod about how he came up with it and why it like kind of correlates not only to Mr. Cartoon, but also to like the culture and then it's a baseball at the same time. I just thought that was really interesting. You know,
yeah, I mean, it's a good point by you because it was honestly. At first, I was like, I think I might have told you, I'm like, maybe you could get him to do like baseball faces, sad, happy and sad. But then I'm like, okay, you know, you talk me into it. Like, I think it's a testament to the artist where they see something that you don't. Yeah. I didn't see it, but the more I'm like, okay, you know, like I get my head around that. And then next day more. In case people don't know. The tattoo is baseball isn't boring, very fancy script, around, the happy and sad. I don't know what you call a mask. Mask, I guess.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. I think it's like a mask or similar to a mask.
Yeah. So anyway, great experience. I just wanted to get your take having, been miles and miles and miles away from the, Mr. Cartoons dojo. All right. Well, this is a great opportunity for everyone to listen to this podcast, as they drive around shopping, doing their thing, getting ready for the holiday season. There's no better way to do that than to say, I wonder what the top five off seasons are.
Yeah.
Well, you're in luck because producer Evan has it. All right. Number five. What do you got?
Yeah. So number five was trickier for me because the top four, I felt like I got them nailed down. Number five, I think I'm going to go with the Houston Astros because they lose Alex Bregman. And obviously I know they lose Kyle Tucker, but I just feel like Paredes, based on all the stuff I've like seen and they've talked about, he's basically, his swing is built for Minute Maid Park, or now they changed the name. I forget what the new name is, but it's like built for those Crawford boxes where they said he's like an insane pull hitter. So basically every home run that wasn't hit this past year because of him not being there is now hit there. So I feel like that's a pretty good addition. I don't know if he's great defensively or not, because I know that might be kind of a problem there. But then you sign Christian Walker, who I think everybody thought, okay, he's probably going to the Yankees. Then other teams kind of got in there, but then they eventually pivoted away from Bregman and they get Walker. And then I think the other guy they got in the deal, Wesneski, I think is also a pretty solid arm. He has the kind of pitcher, like style and like just the videos I've seen where guys like Lance Brazowski and these pitching coaches probably love him because it's like his sweeper seems like it's insane. He's got these other pitches that could be really nice. But I just think based on the fact that they lost two of like the pillars of their organization, I think they did a pretty good job of getting two guys in there that aren't like, you know, completely super below what they are losing.
What team were you wrestling with for number
five? So the Cubs I was also looking at because they get Morgan, the reliever from the Guardians, who I actually thought was pretty underrated. It happened super early in the offseason. I think that was pretty solid. Obviously Kyle Tucker, and then they get Matt Boyd, who that's kind of like a coin toss. That was the tricky thing. I was like, Tucker was really the only main piece they got. And then the Phillies have done a pretty good job around the perimeter. You know, like they needed that fifth starter. They get Lizardo, who could be very well be.
Oh, he's better than a fifth starter, man.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like their rotation is so stacked from, you know, one to four that I'd imagine he'd just take Taiwan Walker's spot. And then they get Max Kepler, who can fit into that outfield. You know, they get Jordan Romano, who's probably going to be their closer, who got non-tender by the Blue Jays as long as he stays healthy. So I just feel like they've done a pretty good job that it's like they didn't get the big piece that I think everybody was expecting coming into this offseason because they were like, oh, maybe they'll change up the core, trade Boehm and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I think they made some pretty good like pieces around the perimeter. But I just felt like the Astros, just based on what they're going to lose and what they've lost, I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. But I would say that I would probably take, well, off of listening to you, I would probably take the Phillies over the Astros. But, you know, that's what it makes. It makes great debate. Yay. Yay for baseball.
That was definitely the hardest one because I was looking at those three and I was like, it hasn't been an insane amount of moves they made, but I just feel
Well, star power, if you wanted to take those three, like the Cubs, because you get Kyle Tucker.
Exactly. But then it's like,
you know, so, all right. Now I'm on pins and needles. Who's number four?
So number four is not the star power again, but it's just they made a ton of really solid moves that I think are going to work out, and it's the Rangers. So they re-sign Eovaldi, the three-year deal. They bring in Jake Berger. At first, people thought he'd be the DH. Now he'll be the first baseman. They bring in Jock Peterson to be the DH and get rid of Nathaniel Lowe. They bring in Robert Garcia, who, based on what all these people were saying, had like crazy peripheral numbers, you know, so he was pretty solid from the Nationals. And then they also get Kyle Higashioka, who could be a very good platoon catcher now with Heim, since Heim didn't have the best year last year. And then they just got a bunch of really solid relievers that can kind of be around the periphery. So I was looking at like all the other teams, and I just felt like that, granted the Phillies could probably make a case since they made some maybe like that star power kind of addition, but I feel like they filled a lot of their holes very well with guys that I think could be just as good, if not better, than what they had previously.
You know, as you're talking, because you mentioned the catcher, Kyle, our good friend Kyle Higashioka.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that there's two GMs or presidents, baseball operations, whatever, who's been remarkably silent, unless I'm missing somebody. You can tell me if I am.
Yeah.
And that's A.J. Preller and Jerry DePoto.
No, you're spot on.
Right? I mean,
everybody's waiting on them because they're always the most creative GMs. Like, they'll flip a random guy, get a great guy. It's like,
I do think the Padres are, as much as you can go all in on Sasaki. I mean, as we said, you can only do what you can do. But I think that AJ, they were they had really left a good impression on Otani, Yamamoto, AJ Preller learned Japanese, which I think is awesome. So anyway, it just came to mind, the fact that those guys, everyone's waiting for those guys. And when I saw the report that Seattle, they'd offer more for Carlos Santana, and he's, you know, going.
That makes sense, because I saw Divish, when he was on, was saying he thought that was like, he was like waiting by his phone to announce that before the meetings, and then it kind of like fell.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Waiting by his phone in Montana. he's really good. I appreciate Ryan coming on. All right, number three.
All right, so number three, I have the Red Sox. You get Garrett Crochet, put at the top of the rotation. I think every team in baseball was dying to get that guy, and the Red Sox just have an insane farm system, so they're able to get it done. You get Aroldis Chapman, who could be your closer, but could also be your seventh.
He's not going to be your closer. Come on.
I wasn't sure. I know.
Your closer, you got a problem.
Yeah.
And he was. I mean, that was the problem. He was the Pirates' closer.
Yeah.
So, anyway, go ahead. Continue.
He's a lefty who everybody is always dying to get. They can never get enough lefties. As a Met fan, we never seem to have enough lefties. So you get a lefty. They obviously get Walker Buehler. That's a big addition in the middle of the rotation. That rotation looks really, really solid now. You get Patrick Sandoval, who I know people are making fun of because it's like, oh, great, we signed a guy who we're not going to use this year. But that's another kind of line. It's not like Giolito, but it kind of is in that, like, he's going to be injured this year. But then he's definitely going to be a great option next year because he was really good with the Angels. And then, of course, you get our good friend of the program, Justin Wilson, in the bullpen. So you got two pieces for the bullpen. You solidify the rotation. And then now, like you posted this morning in your report, like now they're looking at Bregman. Now they're looking at Teoscar.
Well, pull by me the fact that Walker Buehler and Alex Bregman co-own a horse.
How did you even find it? You just look at us.
I'll tell you off the air. Yeah, I think
if they just get a bat, I mean, that's a really.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Really that solid. May have been the best journalism of the entire offseason. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, that was top notch.
I mean, yeah. All right. Well, you know, and I think the Red Sox are going to. I mean, listen. I mean, this is the case with almost all the teams we're talking about. Yeah. There's going to be more of this happening, but we're talking about as we sit here, what have they done? And I think that to your point, I think Crochet is. You have to start with star power, and Crochet is. If you had to power rank the pitchers that are available, I would have put Crochet probably at the top of the list, even over Snell, even over three, probably even over, which by the way, you're leaving a team out already. I know that you're leaving a team out just because we're only going to be down at two, which is kind of shocking to me, but go anyway. Don't let me influence you. what's number two?
So number two, I got the Yankees. They re-signed Jonathan Loaisiga. They acquired.
You can make a case for number one, right?
Number one and number two are definitely maybe a little biased, but also
different. But you could absolutely make the case for Yankees number one.
They made a really good pivot because you get Williams to be your closer. Loaisiga, I saw a bunch of teams were in on him, even though he was hurt. They get Cruz, who's another reliever who apparently is like insanely good from the Reds.
You just mentioned the first three guys. Two of them I barely knew that they signed. And so, like, we haven't even gotten to the meat and potatoes other than.
And then they signed Max Fried. They signed Paul Goldschmidt to play first. And they signed Cody Bellinger to, I assume, be center field. Or unless
did you mention Devin Williams?
And Devin Williams. I thought I mentioned him at the beginning, but maybe I didn't.
Oh, did you? I don't know.
Yeah. So you got, you got Weaver in the eighth. You got Williams in the ninth. You got Cruz and Loaisiga, maybe 6-7. Then you got Goldschmidt at first. You got Fried at the top or the second of the rotation. If you got Cole at the top, and then you got Bellinger in center field with Dominguez and Judge next to him. I mean, it's pretty solid. I think the only thing they might be missing is third base. And based on like the latest reports from Jack Curry and those guys, it seems like that might just be internal. But if they add like a Arenado or even a Bregman, I mean, that's a good plan.
Yeah. I look at this, break this down. So Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt is, you just want a better version than I know he's from the other side of the plate, whatever, but better version of Rizzo. Like, right. Better version of Rizzo. You got whatever you could out of Rizzo. Good for you. But now even though he's 38, still the idea, Goldschmidt, better version of Rizzo. Devin Williams is all of a sudden you have a really, really, really good, assuming that Luke Weaver does what he does. He was so good. He was so good. And so you have that dynamic. That's tough to beat. Max Fried, you know, I said Crochet at the top of the list, but obviously the Red Sox, you know, they thought pretty highly of Max Fried too. How can you not? The only difference maybe is the fact is that, you know, he's older, but still he's in the prime of his career. He's literally in the prime of his career. So you have that dynamic with Garrett Cole and Max Fried and, you know, Rodon was okay. And Louis Gil, you know, so you have that. And now who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting somebody. Cody Bellinger. I love Cody Bellinger. I know that he's not the MVP guy. I just, when he's going good, man, he does so many things well. Great fielder. You just, the swing is so smooth. Like, I just love Cody Bellinger. As long as you don't have to say, oh, Cody, B1 Soto. And that's not, they're not asking them to, but I like that acquisition a lot too. So it was, and you know, all of this, we talk about Evan, GMs wanting to, or making moves, understanding that you have to get uncomfortable, whether it's prospects or whether it's money. Well, that's what Cashman does, right? Look at last year. You know, they signed Verdugo and Soto on last year's of their contract. They have to give up people to do it. But you know what? The goal is to win the World Series. Like, that's what it's about.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because it was at the end of the day, you always used to talk on like different podcasts with executives how the Yankees are the best at pumping up their prospects to make people think they're good and then getting rid of them, or like make them think they're better than they are. And I think Caleb Durbin is the perfect example, right? They're like, he's our starting second baseman. He's a great prospect. Arizona Fall League wasn't a fluke. And then it's like, oh, you want Devin Williams for Caleb Durbin and Nestor Cortez? There you go. You got it.
Yeah, that is, it's a great point because it's funny because you go look at Baltimore and the thought is that Baltimore has obviously a great position to trade some of these guys, these minor leaguers, these prospects, but maybe the difference is that they're actually good. Like you look at Luis Ortiz, you know, like, well, he's good. Like he's good. You traded him for Corbin Burns. He's good. Heston Kerstad is probably going to be good. You know, obviously Jackson Holliday, Colton Cowser, like all these guys that we've been talking about for a while, they're not being pumped up because they're good. Like, they are legitimate good, but they think about your, and I forget which podcast we had it on talking about that dynamic, but I think we went through it. Like, well, okay. who has come back to kill the Yankees? Like, yeah. what Justice Sheffield?
Yeah. No, yeah, it's like they pretty much haven't missed on trading process. I think, like, when you look at the Soto trade, I think Michael King is the only guy that really has looked like amazing out of that.
And Michael King's a good one. Yeah. But you know what? You knew that falls under, there's some guys that you trade for that you know that you just can't, you have to give up. You're just going to have to. And that is an interesting, that one was really, really interesting because, you know, in the heart of that season, as we're going through the postseason and Soto's doing so well, and they clearly aren't going to be doing what they did without Soto, it was a trade that worked. I think I tweeted this, and some people didn't like it, but whatever. But yeah. You look at the deals that Soto have been involved in, they're good deals for everybody. Yeah. Washington, good deal. CJ Abrams, Mackenzie Gore.
James Wood.
How can you not say that's a good?
That was a good guys that are lower, but yeah, I mean, it's
good insane. Deal. San Diego, you know, Michael King. I mean, it's they're
you
good deal.
Thorpe to get Dylan Cease too. So
right, yeah, exactly. So, but the point is that the Cashman just he's been there a long time, so he's an easy target for people. But to pivot like they did was pretty impressive. I actually would have probably put them at number one. I would have right now.
I was concerned.
Don't agree with me. No, don't stop it.
It was a consideration.
If New Year's resolution.
It's also crazy how fast they pivoted too. Like usually it's like, oh, we're going to get to plan B. They've done like 29 moves in like a month. It's insane.
Well, yeah, the Fried and the Devin Williams thing were, you know, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And it's like, with Soto, it wasn't like they cheaped out on it, right? It was clear that Soto wanted to go to the Mets. Yeah. You want to go to the Mets? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they came back. I think Cashman said they never came back to them with a final offer.
No. And it was, because it was like $5 million difference and I think 1 year difference, but it really just came down to all the like extra shit that Cohen just threw in, like the suite and all the stuff that Heyman was reporting about after. So.
Yeah, the meal. Yeah. So. All right. Well, go ahead.
All right. Holidays, so the number
Christmas
one.
This is the only reason we're doing this podcast. So you can sit there and with your, what, I don't even know what's, there's some, what are those like frames behind it? So
one is a final season at Shea because we went there during the final season. It was pretty funny because we went to the last game at Shea Stadium.
You did?
Yeah, me and my dad and my brother. But the funny thing is they lost to the Marlins in a game that would have sent them to the playoffs if they won. So all the people were behind, all the old timers were coming out and people were like, screw you, we're not staying.
All right.
And then, this is the 2008 Mets, so I think that was just like an in the moment. My dad got it, but it's just like their roster. So it's like
hanging up.
It's like Andy Chavez, Johan Santana. It's a pretty stacked roster back in hindsight. Back in the Wilpon Mets days, that's a pretty stacked roster. Man,
I admire you.
Yeah,
I appreciate you, but sometimes you are such a bizarre human being. Of all the things. You do a fair amount of podcasts, right? I mean, like, you come on here, you come on other podcasts, you know, you have a good microphone, you have a decent camera, and literally, okay, I can get behind, like, the last game at Shea, whatever, but you have a random frame photo of the 2008 Mets. We can't do better than that.
I know. I have a Billy Wagner one in my room. I have, actually, my cousin, is like a garbage guy. So he actually has a key to the city that was given to Doc Gooden, which is pretty cool.
Your cousin has that. You don't have it.
No, he gave it to me for Christmas.
Why isn't that up there?
It's very small. It's like a very minuscule thing. So I was like, if this is too like small compared to the other one, the Doc Gooden one would have been pretty freaking small.
I hold on. Okay. All right. I'm gonna invest in this. I just Googled neon Met sign. Yeah. Do you have a, I have to make sure, is it, you have an outlet there? You have an outlet somewhere?
Yeah, yeah, over here.
All right. All right. All right. Merry Christmas. It's on the way. It's on the way.
Thank you.
Neon Met sign. By the way, you must have liked that Pedroia story about Jose Iglesias.
Yeah, that was great.
I love that.
Don, so good.
Like, his promotion of the song was Don King-ish. Yes.
And then he gets a couple movies.
I also love the fact that Pedroia was like, yeah, we went to Best Buy. Like, are they even business? I'm sure there's a couple. Best Buy, I think there's Best Buys everywhere.
He acted like it was
like Blockbuster. Anyway.
My favorite part was when you were talking about the tattoo, and he's like, I couldn't get another tattoo. I had to fight them off with a stick, you know?
All right. As I'm scrolling through these Neon Mets signs, which I'm kind of excited about now, your backdrop heading into the new year. All right, what do you got? Go ahead. Number one, Mets.
All right, so number one, we got the Mets. I think the main reason I put them number one is obviously getting Juan Soto. You know, we did those Juan Soto vibe checks throughout the entire sweepstakes. I was high, I was low, I was low. It's crazy in the aftermath finding out that the Mets were basically like out of it and they thought it was Yankees Red Sox, and then at the last minute they just jump in and offer whatever the heck he wants. But they get him. Jose Siri might be like an interesting piece in center field, but that seems to be the one position that they're kind of just like, we'll put anybody out there. And then getting back Sean Manaea, I felt like, because if it was just Juan Soto and like Clay Holmes and Frankie Montas and the guys we have in the rotation, I would have said, okay, the Yankees have done a ton more. But I think getting Sean Manaea back in that rotation really helps out, because then it looks a little more formidable. Then maybe, you know, if you're going after a Sasaki, then maybe you could bump one of those guys out of the rotation. And they also added some depth. You know, Griffin Canning's nothing to brag about, but you know, if push comes to shove and it ends up like the Dodgers where they lose like 29 different guys during the season, I think they added some decent pieces down the road. And then of course they're also in on, you know, Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman, and it seems like all these other people on the market. So if they add any of those guys, I feel like they've done kind of the best job they could do.
Let me ask you this. If the Dodgers signed Teoscar Hernandez, where do they rank?
That's a good point. I think they'd probably be, I don't know. I was thinking maybe.
I mean, you forget they signed Blake Snell early on, right?
That's what I was trying to think. Like, I was like, should I put them in? Because obviously,
And Blake Trinan, by the way.
Yep. And they added Tommy Edman to like an extension. He was a free agent. But because I was trying to look at it, do I look at the Halls and say like this? I think this like array of players is better. Or do I look at which team got like is becoming the best team? Because the Dodgers, it's like they barely lost anybody. The guys they lost, they're probably going to re-sign, and they added Blake Snell. So it's like if you just look at their roster on paper with the additions they made on top of the absolute insane team they were already, I would think you'd have to probably put them at number one. But I was just looking at like the whole body of work of their signings, and I didn't put them on here. But I definitely think if they get Teoscar and they already got Snell and you got Blake Trinan, who's arguably, you know, up there with the top setup men or closers in baseball, whatever his role will be, I definitely would put them at like, you know, three, maybe four. Because I feel like the Yankees and Mets, just based on Soto and the Yankees just getting a million different guys who are all solid, I felt like they'd be at the top. But I think they might be above the Red Sox a little bit if they end up getting
tired. I should have looked this up, the odds, looking up the odds, the World Series odds right now. If the Dodgers still probably are the top, right? I mean, I would imagine.
They gotta be, because it's like they lost nobody and they brought, I mean, the only guy they would lose possibly is Teoscar, but if they bring him back along with Snell, they're only getting better. And the guys that weren't at certain, like Shohei wasn't a pitcher, now he's a pitcher, so that rotation's insane. They're already looking to add the bullpen. I saw they came in second for Devin Williams, so if they added him along with Snell and all this stuff, so it's just like, it's pretty much if they do anything, their team is going to be damn near unbeatable.
No, I'm looking up right now, FanDuel, Dodgers far and away the favorites, plus 320. Tied for second with the Yankees. What do you think?
I want to say either like the Phillies or the Braves.
The Braves.
Yeah. I know people underestimate them because it's like they don't really need to do much because their team's loaded, but it was all hurt last year.
Yeah.
Like they people like because like the Mets make all these signings and I'm hyped. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's like the Phillies and the Braves don't really need to do much to get like a ton better. Whereas the Mets kind of needed to do a ton. And
yeah. You know. So, you know, you look at teams, so teams that haven't done much that are somewhat surprised. Like you said, the Braves, maybe, you know, maybe another pitcher. I don't know that, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's, I think they're going to be okay. Spencer Strider is going to be back, right? So, they'll be okay. It's got to get guys back, but the Padres, you know, they haven't done a lot. The Orioles, you know, Tyler O'Neill, as we have documented, I think it's a good acquisition. And I'm missing somebody else. They said, oh, Gary Sanchez.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think the Orioles offseason is really predicated and really their chances is predicated on Corbin Burns.
Yeah, it does feel like that because it's like there's no, like, unless they're trading for, you know, a Cease or whoever else they think is on the market. Outside of like doing like what the Red Sox did with a Crochet type guy in terms of like Cease and those guys, there's not really anybody else left in the market outside of Burns that is going to be like, oh my God, that just changed the game for them. So,
well, I tell you what changed the game. The fact that I'm just getting you this neon light is a lot of options, a lot of options.
There you go.
Do you want, what design do you want? You want one like a skull with the Mets logo in the forehead. I mean, it's all up to you. This is what we're doing. I'm taking a screenshot of what you have now, and we're going to look back like, what has happened?
It's pretty sad.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you this stuff. I'm going to send you a frame picture of my tattoo you can put up, okay. Right? Yeah. All right. Well, obviously get the Baseballs and Boring logo. We'll get the neon Met sign. I apologize because as we're doing this, it's Christmas Eve. So it's going to be a little late, but my present to you is the promise that I am going to give you a different backdrop. Thank you.
Yeah, so, fair enough.
All right. All right. Thank you.